How could a dream so extraordinary not bring home all the abundance necessary to obliterate debts, pay pay scales, give CA raises, provide secure jobs structures, make sure every team member has a review every 6 months, every 12 months for pay scale changes, that everybody's able to drive safe cars? If somebody can dream as passionately as a Katie, or a Troy, or a Brian, or an Eric, or any of you, how could you possibly go home and have anything but ridiculous prosperity? And I don't just mean money. I mean prosperity in the joy of your marriage, prosperity in employees that never want to leave and realize they're a part of a team, prosperity in team members protecting team members, prosperity in patients receiving care that makes them have extraordinary results, prosperity in an adoration within your zip code, that your zip code is changed because your practice lives in it.
Amen.
Prosperity. How could you not have that kind of prosperity unless if your dream is now littered with being a drain? If I'm so obsessed with my success that I forget to be in rhythm as a man, such that in the midst of things that stress me, the alligators or the whatever this thing is called that I drew there, that bite at your feet.
Leoplerodon.
A Leoplerodon?
That's what it's been like.
So, if my dream consumes me enough, where I'm willing to live out my behaviors in the midst of it in ways that hurt other people, my dream has become a drain. Especially the most important people. And they are simple. They are my spouse, my kids, and my employees. They are my family. I used to live by a stupid adage, and I learned it from a guy up in Connecticut who had the world's most successful grocery stores. And the adage was carved in granite when you walked in the grocery store. And it was famous, world-renowned. And at that time, we ran in circles. We were picking up Mark Victor Hansen from airports. We were running around with Charlie Tremendous Jones. We were picking up all the NSA speakers. We were the dude kids on everybody's block that if they needed something, we'd get their dry cleaning done to breathe around these people. And Stu Leonard was a famous tool they talk about. And on the granite in Stu Leonard's store, it said, rule number one, the customer is always right. Rule number two, if in fact the customer is absolutely wrong, refer back to rule number one. Oh, isn't that cute? Meanwhile, I crap all over my own employees. So, it isn't that the customer is always right. Because the customer will suck the flipping blood out of you and then walk and find the next chiropractor or drug addiction to embrace a week later. If I don't look out for her, the kids, and my team, I suck. And the minute I show up late for a team training or I miss one, the minute I show up late for an accountability call, the minute I show up late for my Tuesday cornerstone calls, I'm showing everyone around me I'm a man of no character about the souls who matter most. But I live to make my story and my ambitions successful. And I don't mean to be a bad guy in the middle of it. I just leave death and carnage around me because of it. Or I stop and I come to weekends like this with my spouse, with my team, and we work on the times I'm a knucklehead. And they can recognize my own patterns, and I can learn their statements of desires, and we can all be on the same page and realize, you know what? I will never be caught at a desk in the middle of the day again. I already feel bad. I'm in our new office 2 weeks. We have one room with a flipping desk in it. It's called the ready room. And there's a tendency that we go to that desk. It's got to stop. Everything we do at that desk can be done right in the auditorium, and that's where we belong. Standing in clear sight of everyone all the time. We already are breaking good habits.
So when are you going to get rid of that desk?
It's necessary there, but we have to set it to what it was built for, which is a standing desk, not a sitting desk. So I realized that the other day, so I'm like, what the hell is that desk? Whoa. It's a standing desk. But get rid of that. I was going to order a chair. I said, oh man, we got to order a chair now. I'm like, am I a moron? I bought a standing desk, press the button that brings it back up, no freaking chair. Because if in my idle moments my team sees me being who they are, then together we can all be accountable to the highest choice. And I will be prepared and on time for me. And that's been the hardest thing getting back. TLC is set up. It's sweetest. We are in the sweetest times ever. There is no dark stories I can share with you. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that isn't as clean as it needs to be. I need to be better at weekly team trainings. Dr. Jen's been jumping in. One-on-one accountabilities are still a mess, but they're getting better. You know, everything is finding its way. But it is all finding its way. It really is. It really is. So my challenge to you, right now I want you to write down evidences in my life. This is clean and clear on your page. You write this down because you're going to fill it in. Evidences in my life. How my dream may in fact be a dream. I want to hear all the dirty laundry. Evidences in my life of how my dreams may in fact be a dream.